Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Monday to you. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. That way they provide a seamless mortgage experience. So we'll start hour number three by talking some hockey. Former NHL goalie Kevin Weekes will be joining me momentarily. We've hit on the NHL playoffs. We've hit on the NBA playoffs. And, of course, we spent the first hour talking about the Masters and Tiger's amazing win. On Twitter, Jake in Buffalo tweets, Torts, how are the Lightning looking this series? They're bleeping their pants. They're puking. They're doing everything.
Ella has gone over to the Calgary Flames hallway.
Okay. He shit his pants. He was puking. He was doing everything.
My gosh.
My gosh. They are. They are bleeping their pants, puking, and doing everything. And we'll get into it with Kevin Weekes. He'll break that down. Dear Tiger Honks, we think your behavior is totally acceptable. Regards, the crying adult kook that thinks the pro wrestling is real.
It's still real to me, damn it. I'll be...
Take it easy, man.
Take it easy, man. Take it easy, man. Signed Geoff in Lincoln. His subject is Honk Nation. Slow your roll.
Thank you.
Take it easy, man. Dear Jaime, as Eldrick was making his way from the 18th green to the clubhouse to sign his card, I couldn't help but chuckle at all the adult losers trying to high-five him. Sort of reminded me of a certain bro back at Riviera. Signed, Stephen S.A. Unwore adults trying to high-five other adults. You shouldn't do that, nor should you cry about somebody winning a tournament that you've never met that you don't know. But there was a lot of that yesterday. A lot of that yesterday. All right, as I mentioned, we're going to spend the top of this part of the hour by talking more hockey. We are joined right now by an NHL Network analyst. More than 14 years in professional hockey, he helped lead the Carolina Hurricanes to the 2002 Stanley Cup Final. He was a second-round draft pick in 1993. You can watch Kevin on NHL Network's NHL Tonight, which is airing live before and after every game of the Stanley Cup playoffs. My guest is Kevin Weekes. Kevin, great to have you back. How are you?
Thanks, Romy. Great to see you're back, too. I know you enjoyed some much-needed downtime, so I'm sure you're recharged and refreshed. I'm feeling good.
I feel great, Kevin. Thanks for saying so. All right, so a lot to talk to you about in the NHL right now, but let me start with this. Kevin, what was your reaction when you saw Toronto's Nazem Kadri do what he did in Game 2 against Boston?
Low percentage move by Nazem Kadri. You know, he's somebody that I know from back home, being from Toronto originally, but I've known him since he's come into the league. He's got a lot of skill, tons of talent. His Leafs team is stacked, as is the Boston team. And, you know, he's slotted right now as a third-line center. He scored 32 goals last year, only 16 this year. But he's a very, very important piece to this Leafs team because he has the skill of a top-six forward, but he's not afraid to play in the playoffs. And the Leafs aren't a team that has that much sandpaper in their group. So by having him there, he plays a critical role on this team, especially based on this matchup with the Boston Bruins that are the more powerful, more physical team. And what he did the other night was just unacceptable. I mean, it's just a poor play choice. I know that some things had escalated during the game, and he felt that he had gotten meat earlier. I know that he was coming to the aid, or so he thought, of Patrick Marleau, courtesy of a hit by Jake DeBrusk, which is a clean hit. But at the end of the day, you need to have that emotional maturity. You need to have that, and especially anytime, but especially in the playoffs when you're being counted upon. And as Scott Hartnell and I said on NHL Tonight on the NHL Network, literally following that game, you're looking at the guys in the locker room. To the left, to the right, straight across from you. You're looking at the trainers, the coaching staff, the entire organization. And one thing when you're in a dressing room, it's a heightened level of accountability. How do you let the guys down? I mean, we've all made mistakes. Guys have, you know, done things that aren't necessarily the best decisions. But in a critical time in the Stanley Cup playoffs, in Game 2 in Boston at the Garden, it's just a play that you can't make. And that must have been a long plane ride back up to Toronto. I know it's only an hour flight, but... That must have felt much longer for Nazem Kadri because he certainly let his teammates and his staff and the coaching staff down with that poor decision.
Kevin Weekes joining us. Well said. Now we're talking about him getting ejected for a cross check. When you look at what he did in last year's playoffs against Boston, which earned him three games and now he does this. In your mind, what is an appropriate punishment then?
For me, first of all, yeah, you just laid it out, Romy. He's a four-time repeat offender. He's been suspended four times in his career. And if it's me and I'm running player safety, I'm handing out 20 gamers like they're candy, just like they're Pop-Tarts or Sweet Tarts or Sour Keys or Nerds. That's what I'm doing. And in this specific case, it'd be a 10 for sure. It'd be nothing less than a 10 because clearly there's a higher rate of recidivism here, right? This is the fourth time he's already been suspended. And now this will end up being the fifth time. So clearly he hasn't learned. And I don't know, but to me, a lot of that stuff, I go back to it. Like, a lot of that stuff, there has to be a higher level of accountability. And, you know, the club can do so much. The league can do so much. But I think a lot of that just starts from within. And, you know, it's got to be on his parents, too, to be able to say, listen, son, like, it's embarrassing. You can't do this anymore. Because the first four times that you've been suspended by the league from player safety, it hasn't worked. And now, you know, you don't want to have these types of stains and these types of blights on our last name, so to speak. And the same thing on the team. Like, somebody on the squad, and I know for a fact, having played with Brendan Shanahan, with the Rangers and the Devils, Hall of Famer, who's the Leafs team president, I know for a fact Shanny's had conversations with him. So at this point now, to me, those conversations need to get a lot more serious and intense in nature. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see if they start, being the Toronto Maple Leafs, mulling their options as to what to do with him on a go-forward basis come the offseason, because this is just irresponsible.
I was going to ask you about that, but you just answered it. Exactly right. Kevin Weeks joining us. All right, so the Islanders, Kevin, beat the Penguins in overtime in Game 1. Since then, they've outscored them 7-2. They've got a 3-0 series lead. How impressed have you been with the way they've handled their business thus far?
Super impressed. Literally, I just got back to the house in Jersey from Long Island. You must have a tracking device in my car. but literally, just got in the door. But in saying that, I mean, the fans of Long Island have been great. You know, I got to start with the team. Honestly, Lou Lamoriello, and I would probably say Jim Rutherford of the Penguins, ironically enough. I played for them both. They're two of the hardest working senior management people I've seen in hockey, without question. And Lou Lamoriello specifically with the Islanders, I mean, between him and Barry Trotz, they've literally transformed this franchise since the summer. And having played for Lou, I know a lot of the old school family values, old school Italian values that he brings to the table: accountability, professionalism, team first, collective, you know, all those different things. He brings that to the table, and he's been able to impart that on that team. So has Barry Trotz and the entire coaching staff. What they've done so far this year, Romy, is nothing short of miraculous. This is a miraculous transformation. That's in the absence of John Tavares, who's now playing with the Leafs. What a year. But it all comes back to the attention to detail. It does. And I got to say this right now, Barry Trotz, who won the Stanley Cup last year as head coach of the Washington Capitals, for a lot of you football fans out there, he's having a Bill Belichick-esque impact on the New York Islanders right now. And certainly with them being the best defensive team in the league and them shutting down the Pittsburgh Penguins, which are a three-time Stanley Cup team with Sidney Crosby at the helm as a player, they've been able to neutralize them. And I think that's a testament to the players, of course, and the staff, the different players I've talked to on their team, but I think a lot of it goes back to the credit, too, with Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz. It's been amazing.
Kevin Weeks joining us. I think that Belichick analogy is very, very good. Now, as long as we're talking, Kevin, about teams on the verge of sweeps, then you have what Columbus is doing to Tampa Bay and what they've done to them in the first three games. I know the Lightning were down a couple of key players yesterday, but how do you explain what we've seen so far in that series?
You know, when they were here the other day, last Friday or two Fridays back, the Blue Jackets against the Rangers at the Garden. I went to the game, had a chance to speak to different people. JD, John Davidson, their president, Yarmo, their GM, coach, Torts, everybody, players. And I said to those guys, listen, if you guys play your style, and their captain specifically, Nick Foligno, I said, if you guys play your style, you guys can match up with Tampa. But you got to play your style. And they're doing that to beyond. I mean, they're playing a responsible game. They're playing from the middle of the rink out as opposed to from the out in. That allows them to defend much better because, you know, Tampa's an explosive offensive team, to put it mildly. Tampa's a record-setting, record-tying team for most wins in a regular season with the 95-96 Detroit Red Wings by way of Tampa's season this year to finish first overall in the league. We know how stacked Tampa is. We know how deep they are. But the Jackets are doing a great job of defending. They're physical. They're playing. They're taking away the time and space from Tampa to be able to make plays. Tampa can't get to the areas of the rink that they're comfortable to generate offense. They're also hammering them on the forecheck. They're owning the boards. And quite frankly, Romy, they're more intense. And this is why people don't understand. I say this all the time. You always have to respect your opponent, number one, and this is why they play the games. We can pontificate. We can speculate. We can do all kind of late. None of it matters until you get out there and perform. And I'll tell you one thing. After that first period in game one where Tampa came out gangbusters and then they started feeling cocky about it, they're like, oh, we're good. We're good, fellas. We're good in here. We're good. They let their foot off the gas pedal. Back came Tampa. They stormed all the way back. They won the game in overtime. Or sorry, back came Columbus. They won that game in overtime. They haven't looked back since. And Columbus, quite frankly, just wants it more. They're more dedicated. Tampa is the deeper team. Columbus is the team playing with the deepest level of commitment in this series so far. That's why they're up 3-0. Sergei Bobrovsky, their goalie, has been awesome. Matt Duchene's been tremendous. Panarin's been tremendous. And I got to say, Torts has done an awesome job with them so far this playoffs.
Studio analyst for NHL Network, Kevin Weeks, former NHLer, joining us for a few more moments. Torts has done an amazing job. Saturday, Kevin, I saw you tweet that when it comes to coaching vacancies, Patrick Waugh should get a look. Break that down. What makes him such an effective coach?
Yeah, thanks, Romy. The big thing for Patrick Waugh, obviously his playing experience is arguably second to none, only to Marty Brodeur, who bests him by most wins ever in the history of the league for a goalie. But Patrick has won. He's been a winner. He was the Jack Adams winner in his first year, which is coach of the year in the NHL, his first year in Colorado as a head coach. But what I also like about Patrick is he went back to youth hockey. He started coaching in youth hockey with his son, like Pee Wee Bantam, I'm talking, like driving up and down in a minivan and coaching, and before going to coach in Major Junior in Quebec, in Quebec City with the Quebec Ramparts, and then coming on to coach the Avalanche. I thought he was great in his first year. I think a lot of guys in that group needed some maturing to do in that second year, and consequently, he ended up parting ways with the Avalanche. But I feel his grasp on the game. I feel the fact that he's innovative, he's gutsy, he's passionate, and he works hard. He understands and knows and lived what it means to win, obviously at the NHL level with the Avalanche in Montreal, but also at the Major Junior level with Quebec. He's helped develop players that are currently in the NHL now that played for him, like Radulov, who's playing in Dallas right now, Anthony Duclair, who's in Ottawa right now. He's helped develop those players, and he understands today's player. And he's got that jam. He's got the name recognition. I don't really think that there's any blemishes. If I'm a team, I know that he hasn't been referenced publicly. I see that we're looking at a lot of potential coaches in terms of a lot of the more notable names that people would expect. But I think that Patrick Waugh is an amazing candidate. And another person I think that'd be a great, great candidate is Ralph Kruger. He was the chairman of Southampton in the British Premier League, in the English Premiership. Soccer, yes, is in football. But a longtime coach, coached in the NHL. He coached Team Europe at the World Cup of Hockey up in Toronto 3 years ago and led Team Europe to the final against Team Canada. And he was incredible with that group. Very measured, very professional. So those are two potential coaching candidates that haven't been getting a lot of public play in terms of name recognition, but on the basis of the ability to do the job and their quality as people, I think that they're being highly underlooked, if anything, right now, let alone overlooked. They're being underlooked right now.
Kevin Weeks, our guest. Remember, you can watch Kevin on NHL Network's NHL Tonight, which is airing live before and after every single game of the Stanley Cup playoffs, an NHL Network analyst and more than 14 years in professional hockey. Kevin, so good to have you back, man. Really appreciate you, and I appreciate the conversation. Roby, thank you.
Thanks so much, man. Thanks to you fans that tune in and watch us on the NHL Network. And one quick one, Kendall Coyne of Team USA's World Cup winning, World Championship winning, I should say, Team USA hockey women's team. Kendall Coyne will be joining us in studio on the NHL Network tonight, all the way back from Finland from the World Championships. She might have some champagne in her eyes, but that's okay. It's earned. Make sure you check us out tonight at 9:30 p.m. Eastern.
100%. Okay, then. Kevin Weeks joining us. Make sure you check that out. Always good to watch them do their thing. 1-800-636-8686. We are open the rest of the way. Give us a phone call. We can talk NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs. We can talk the Masters. You know, this weekend I actually spent some time, believe it or not, with the U.S. men's national team coach. That's it. More soccer. Greg Berhalter and I broke bread in Manhattan Beach. Fact. I can prove it too. See what I did not anticipate, man. Parking on Saturday afternoon in Manhattan Beach was unbelievable. I'm like one of those guys who, I'm kind of paranoid about this. I want to be early everywhere I go. I was nearly an hour late for that, just looking for a parking spot. It was a freaking disaster, like the most beautiful day ever. But then I sat down, talked the beautiful game with Greg Berhalter, and it all just dissolved. It was fine. It was perfect. A perfect Saturday in Manhattan Beach. Open phones from here on out. If you want to hit something else, do it. The Smack Off is June 21st. Invite only. 25th edition. That's the one you want to win. Let's break. I am hyped on this. Got a brand new sponsor in the jungle. Johnny O. Johnny O invented and patented the tweener button. What that is a hidden button between the second and third button featured on all Johnny O shirts. The tweener button is the first patented button to make sure that you're not too buttoned up, but not too unbuttoned. The hidden button solves the age-old second button dilemma. Should you button one button or two? Every single Johnny O shirt comes with their patented tweener button, so you're always looking just right. It's a total game changer. And you clones can use the promo code ROME for 20% off your first order at johnny-o.com at checkout through May 30th. That's 20% off the regular price button-ups, which come in a range of fabrics, patterns, and styles. And shipping is free for orders over $85. That's johnny-o.com. Promo code ROME. Get 20% off your first order. Free shipping on orders over $85. Go to johnny-o.com for your tweener shirt at 20% off. Check out their wide selection of shirts and other products, ranging from polos to shorts, pants, swim, and more. johnny-o.com, johnny-o.com. I am hyped that Johnny O is in the jungle now. Johnny-O.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Don't have time to wax your car? Not a problem. New 303 touchless sealant will save you hours. It takes minutes to apply. Simply spray on and rinse off, and it protects up to two times longer than traditional waxes. More protection and shine, less effort and time. Available at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let me double back to Tiger for a minute. Not you honks, not you bags, but Tiger himself. Now, the reaction has been kind of curious. Some people are saying, God, why? Why does none of this stick to this guy? And the fact of the matter is, it does. It does. Now, for some of you, it doesn't matter at all. You've conveniently forgotten everything. But the fact is, he did some pretty despicable things. He did some pretty stupid things. He jacked up his life and his career, and a lot of that was self-inflicted. We're talking about a guy who rose to the highest of heights and then found a new rock bottom time and time again after that Thanksgiving weekend back in 08. The sex scandal, the divorce, the banged-up Escalade, the sponsors dropping out, the world ranking plummeting out of the top 1,000, the multiple back surgeries, the knee blowouts, the cuts he missed, the tournaments he quit, and the all-time mugshot after that Memorial Day car crash that will be burned into the front of everybody's mind as much as that trademark Sunday Red. You remember that, right? Of course. It was less than 2 years ago, May 29th, 2017, Jupiter, Florida police rolled up in the middle of the night on a busted up sled halfway in a storm ditch to find a pilled up Tiger who thought that he was in California, but was on the East Coast. And he confused the ABCs for the national anthem. If his image had not already been shattered enough, the glazed over mugger turned what was left of it into dust. There's no one anywhere who saw that picture, who read that police report, who listened to that dashboard cam recording that could have ever seen that same guy slipping into a green jacket ever again. Hell, I'm not sure anybody saw him playing golf ever again. The entire reason that he was pumped so full of painkillers that night was to numb the pain of a back that was so jacked up that he could barely get out of bed, that he could barely walk with, that he could barely sit upright in a chair. Over. So how the hell was that guy going to bend over a shot? How was this guy going to swing a bat? Again, in his own backyard, let alone at a place that mattered. You might recall I had Armin Katayan on. Armin Katayan came on my podcast last summer. He co-wrote the definitive biography on Tiger Woods. He told me that that Memorial Day 2017 was indeed the lowest of all the lows for the Cat.
I think the experience on the road and the highway in Florida, Memorial Day weekend 2017 was rock bottom. I don't think the fire hydrant in 09 was rock bottom. I think that picture, having a rock star cocktail of drugs in his system, the fact that he was in a car, he could have killed himself, he could have killed other people. I mean, he thought he was in Orange County, California.
He didn't know what state he was in.
He didn't know what state he was in. He was completely wasted.
That was Armin Katayan. So the dude was napping it out in his whip, using the steering wheel as a pillow, loaded up on, quote, a rock star cocktail of drugs. He didn't know what side of the country he was on. Could have killed himself, or even worse, others. And like Armin Katayan said, even bouncing his rig off the tree in the fire hydrant, or both, was not as bad as this. Tiger Woods, the most famous athlete walking around on Earth, cheating death 23 months earlier and then winning the Masters yesterday, is pretty amazing. It's unbelievable. So that's not a comeback per se. That's a come all the way back, because that was the lowest of lows and he made it back to the highest of highs. And that's the basement to the penthouse. That's rock bottom to rock star yet again. That's a storm drain to Butler Cabin. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that he didn't do a lot of that to himself. I'm not going to sit here and say he's a victim of any sort or even a sympathetic figure. Everything bad that's happened to him, pretty much for the most part, was brought on by him. He had the affairs. He crashed the cars. He jacked up his back. He got hooked on pills. But then he came all the way back. I mean, he could have put the sticks in the garage for the rest of time and disappeared, and nobody would have blamed him. Really, nobody would have said anything at all. You bring that much shame and pain and doubt on yourself, nobody's going to think twice if you say, you know what, I had a pretty good run. 14 majors, made a lot of bank, and now I've got to make it right with my family. Got to make it right with my back. I got to get right physically. He didn't have to do the work to dig himself out of that deep of a hole, even if he dug himself into it. But he did. He did the hard work. He did the hard work. And as Armin Katayan said last July, it is a testament to this guy's will.
To be in that deep, dark hole, to be where you're self-medicating to the point that he was self-medicating, where you're lonely, where you can't get out of bed for days and weeks at a time, as dark of a place that he was in, the fact that he came out of that hole and is in the place that he is right now, to me, is the greatest triumph of his life. You can take all the majors and the 79 tour wins and put them over there. And as far as I'm concerned, the fact that Tiger Woods is who he is today and didn't stay in that hole, that's a testament to his will.
Now, that was not a conversation that I had with him yesterday. That was a conversation back last summer. Armin was saying things like that about him last summer, that already that was his greatest accomplishment, that was a testament to his will. And it's true, right? Guy's got more money in the bank than he could ever spend. He's got the rest of his life. Probably wants to make it good with his kids. He didn't have to do that work. Kind of hard to motivate to do all that work, the hard work, when you've got all that money in the bank already. You are already arguably the GOAT. But the guy did the work. No quit. No quit in this dude. I mean, one thing to get back on the track and tee it up with a generation that he inspired to be better, that he made better for all of them. A generation that he had curb stomped back then. Entirely another, though, to beat these guys back and to do it at Augusta National and win the Masters for the first time in 14 years. Yes, he put himself in the hole, but he dug himself out. credit for that. Most would have rolled over and looked for a nice, comfortable spot to die. But the cat didn't. Look, I wasn't shy about pointing out how big of a bag this guy was when he imploded. And to be fair, I was not shy about pointing out how amazing and awesome he was prior to that implosion. But I will acknowledge that this accomplishment is amazing, and I'll do so with the same energy and the same intensity. The guy did an amazing job of digging himself out of a hole that he put himself into. So credit for that. Credit for that, and I want to acknowledge it and respect it and enjoy it. Hopefully, the bags don't wreck it for us. Rome. This is a long-form email, quickly. Rome. As CEO of Tiger Honk, Inc., I wear a lot of what you say about us honks. That being said, I don't condone all the behavior that comes with being a tiger honk. What I find most interesting and potentially embarrassing for honks everywhere is the new dynamic of Tiger being older. That embrace he had with his son is about to inspire a new wave of honks in a way that we have never seen before. Now that most of us honks are at the age where we are having kids, there is a new opportunity to be a daddy honk. You will soon witness daddy honks everywhere, out on the range with their sons, wearing matching red polos, at the grocery store, wearing matching Nike caps. We grew up enjoying Sundays with the old man, watching Tiger dominate. Now daddy honks everywhere can enjoy Tiger's next chapter of dominance with their own kids. The Honk Nation is about to be stronger than I ever thought possible. Tyler in Shredmonton, CEO of Tiger Honk, Inc. All I'm saying is, and you're acknowledging this, I think the guy's changing. I think the guy is a lot more embraceable. I think the guy's a lot more likable because the guy's a lot more human. I mean, you'd have to be some kind of bag not to change to go through what he went through and not come out better for it, not have a changed perspective. Again, the guy was lying in a ditch, not even knowing what state he was in, jacked up on a rock star cocktail of drugs. And when asked by a cop to do the alphabet, did the national anthem instead. That's rock bottom. That's humbling. That's extremely dangerous. He's lucky he didn't kill himself and a number of other people. He's better for it. He's a better human being. Now, I'm not going to say that I have any personal experience in dealing with him, but those around him say he's just different. He's better. So what I'm saying to you honks is, your idol is better. He's different. He's more likable. He's a better human being. You need to do better, honks. Do better, honks. This is not your call to be bigger bags. It's your call to be better. He is. He changed. Change with him. I'm not saying don't be a Tiger Woods fan. I'm saying don't be a Tiger Woods bro. Be a fan, but don't be a bag. Don't wreck it. It's a great story. It really is. Because I think, frankly, that's not his last major. I think he will win again. I think the 15th was the hardest. I'm not saying he's going to run down Jack. I'm saying I don't think he's done. I think he's got another one in him. Maybe, dare I say, more. So going forward, bros, bags, honks, fanboys, Hawk, Chael, Tyler, don't wreck it. Enjoy it, but don't wreck it. When we come back, I did sit with the coach of the U.S. men's national team, Greg Berhalter. And it was his idea. That was actually both of our ideas. The Manhattan Beach Run on Saturday. Van Smack driving in circles, looking for a place to park. Did not go well. The lunch was awesome. Had a great talk. Man, what's better than a beautiful Saturday afternoon by the beach talking about the beautiful game? Getting ready for the Gold Cup. I may break that down for you when we come back. Otherwise, phone lines are open. Stay tuned. Let's get the ATP in here. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. This says, Jim, I know you had Justin Thomas at Augusta. He had a nice rally after a slow start. But did James Kelly's big ol' head win you any money betting the Masters? Thanks for nothing, Hefty. After he shredded Kuchar's cheap ass on Twitter, I took him and he sucked. Thanks, Kevin in Cedar Rapids. Now, I made my own picks for the Masters, and I did not do very well. James Kelly made picks for himself. He also did not do very well, despite the rather abnormally large head that he has.
Omaha!
Omaha did not win. No, we didn't take Tiger Woods. I thought that his putting was going to be a major, major issue. I did not take him. I was all in on Justin Thomas. You know, I thought about a few other things. Did not go so well for me or Big Head. Going back to Hefty, some of you loved that he did this on Twitter.
Weekend at the Masters, driving up Magnolia Lane. There's nothing better than being in contention on the weekend at the Masters, driving up Magnolia Lane. I've got a great pairing today with Matt Kuchar. Obviously, we're not going to have any side action today because I'd probably see like 0.06% if I did win. But we're going to have a great day. I love his caddy, Woody.
Hey, hey, oh, Hefty. Hefty went there. He finished T18. Hefty went there. And the cat wins it all. All right, so does anybody live in the South Bay? I got to admit, I've not spent a lot of time there lately. I actually, way back in the day, I used to live there. I lived in Manhattan Beach when I was coming up. Beautiful place. Everybody wants to be by the beach. So if you're in Los Angeles, but you don't want to be like Metro LA, but you don't want to live in Orange County, you want to hit the South Bay. Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, Redondo Beach. Amazing beaches. Great, great spots. But extremely populated, especially on the weekend where people converge. So Greg Berhalter, who is the coach of the U.S. men's national soccer team, had been on the show recently in studio. And again, he and I know each other. The reason why I'm talking soccer, the reason why he's coming on the program is we know each other. We have a relationship. He used to live in an area where I live, and we watched our kids play baseball together. And then he went out and began his coaching career and worked with the LA Galaxy, went overseas, Columbus, and is doing really, really well. He gets that job, and so we reach out to U.S. Soccer and say, hey, listen, we'd like to talk about him and the team. We want to talk directly to him. And they're like, I think probably in the back of their minds, like, wait, Rome wants to do a soccer interview. Maybe not. And I would imagine maybe Greg says, I know him. We have a good relationship. Let's try this. So we do an interview and it goes great. Then we do another interview and it goes great. And this is fun. This is good. And I like what they're doing. So he's in town. They're getting ready for the Gold Cup. And he's in town for about a week, and he's doing his media tour, and he comes to our studio, and he comes on this show. And again, it goes great. And we got to talking afterwards, and I said, how long are you in town? He said, actually, for an entire week, we should get together. I said, we should do that. So we decide that we're going to have lunch, and he says, I'll come see you. Because, again, he has friends in the area. I said, you know what? Actually, I should come see you. You've already come to see me. Let me come to you. He said, great. Let's have lunch in Manhattan Beach. I said, great. So I go up there and I'm thinking, yeah, that's a tricky place, but I'll just get there early. It'll be fine. Not having gone there lately. So I get up there for a lunch, and the lunch is in the afternoon, a little bit later in the afternoon. And I'm one of those guys who's kind of just neurotic about be early everywhere you go. There's some people who are late everywhere they go. I'm early everywhere I go. And I drop into Manhattan Beach, and I'm early. I'm fine. I'm good. I mean, I'm probably there 20 minutes early, 25 minutes early. It's a joke. Like, where am I going to have a cup of coffee before I see this guy? And then I start driving around. Can't find the restaurant. Problem number one. Problem number two, it doesn't matter. I can't find a parking spot in this whole freaking town. Imagine a town that's like maybe it's like a 3-mile stretch. And imagine the most amazing ocean view you'll ever see anywhere, almost in the world. And then imagine that there are almost no public parking lots and everything is metered. And then imagine none of these restaurants have parking lots. You're just on a main strand with metered parking. And if there are, I don't even know what the number is. Say there's 3,000 parking spots in that town. There's 50,000 cars. And already, I got to own this too. I'm no navigational wizard. People know this about me. I'm pretty smart. I'm pretty talented. Man, I don't know where the hell I'm going. I don't know my head from my ass most days. I can go to the same spot 5 times and still get lost. I'm just not wired like that. I'm not smart like that. So imagine me dropping into this town on this day. And then imagine a guy like that who's way smarter than I am, who walked from his hotel. He doesn't need a parking spot. So my man's in the restaurant, and now it's right on time, and I'm nowhere near the restaurant, and I can't find a place to park. 15 minutes late, half hour late, can't find it, worst look ever. I finally drop into a public parking lot. I go down a few levels. Nothing. Nobody's leaving. Everybody's coming in. I finally find a spot. 24-minute spot. I don't care. I'll eat that ticket. Park in the spot. Come up the escalator. See daylight. Find the main street. I go into a store. I'm turned around. I got no idea where I am. I say to this woman in a store, "Can you tell me where Fishing with Dynamite is?" And she looked at me and she's like, I'm like, "Oh no." She said, "Honestly, you are nowhere near that restaurant." I'm like, "Nowhere near that restaurant?" She's like, "No." I'm like, "Do you know where it is?" She's like, "No." I'm like, "You work at this store and you don't even know where it is? I'm that far away." And now I'm so far from the lot that I started, I literally can't even find the lot. So I'm trying to keep my head. I find the lot. I drop back down. I try to get out. I text out my man. He's like, "I'm all good, Jim," which is a lie because now I'm like 45 minutes late. And I've never been late for anything in my life. Now I'm stuck in an underground lot and I can't get out. Literally, I can't get out. No one's going anywhere. And this is like literally the worst day of my life. And I'm trying not to get rattled by it, but I'm starting to get rattled by it because the coach of the U.S. men's soccer team is waiting in a restaurant and has been there 45 minutes. Finally get out of the lot, get back to the main strip, find the restaurant, which is a small win. But again, there's no parking anywhere. At this point, I would have paid a guy $100 just to park my car and wouldn't have even cared. So up and down, up and down, up and down, circling, 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 waiting for something. Finally, a spot opens up. 2-hour spot. Drop into it. Truck on over to the restaurant and act like I'm not rattled by it. Sit down. Have the best lunch ever. Dude, Manhattan Beach, yo. Manhattan Beach, though. Wow. I'll leave the day before next time. And I don't think it even matter. Adam, pick it up real quick. Remember when you and I did that NFL hit from the beach? Now, I had a car, so I had a ride up, which is what I should have done. Didn't you park that day?
Yeah, I went and parked down there real early, knowing what was going to happen. And when we were done.
At what time?
We got there at like 5:30. I remember picked up some protein packs from the local coffee shop, and then
so what was parking like for you that morning?
There was no one out there, but everything was marked with these crazy parking signs that you can't decipher them. You need a law book to do it. And then when we got done, came back, and my car was just littered in like $80 parking tickets.
See, that's the other thing too, right? Like I found one spot that was open, and I should have known that there was a reason why it was open. And I started reading that same legalese on that sign. This woman looks at me, she pulled up next to me, and she goes, "Wait a minute, are we gonna get towed?" I'm like, "You're freaking me out. I'm out of here
now." It's like hieroglyphics. You can't do it.
Right. And I pulled out. All right. Thank you very much. Adam, see, that helped. That helped, Adam. Yeah, that was insane. Manhattan Beach, yo. God, what a beautiful day, though. What a beautiful day. Sponsored by Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Separate your business from your personal and feel more professional in your customer interactions with the Grasshopper business phone solution. Better small business communication starts with Grasshopper. Try it for free at grasshopper.com. Thanks to Kevin Weeks, NHL Network analyst, Terry Stotts, head coach of the Trailblazers, Robert Lucetich, golf analyst. The Cat, you did it. You Hawks, or you Honks, stand down. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.